Welcome back to a Metro News special report, Human Rights in China, A Closer Look. Here's Eric Olander.
Soon after the 1989 crackdown of demonstrators on Tiananmen Square, hundreds of activists and the movement's leaders attempted to get out of China. Many such as Chai Ling, Wang Kaixi, and Liu Yang did manage to escape, but Wang Juntao, Wang Dan, and Chen Zemin illustrate the fate of those less fortunate. Almost immediately after the tanks rolled through Beijing, Chinese pro-democracy groups began popping up all over the world. The Chinese Alliance for Democracy, the Independent Federation of Chinese Students and Scholars, and the Federation for a Democratic China are just a few. The Chinese government has branded several of these groups as counter-revolutionary. But much like banning a book, when Beijing labels groups of being counter-revolutionary and subversive, many times it simply adds to the credibility and prominence of these organizations. Unquestionably, one of the most organized and influential pro-democracy groups is the Paris-based Federation for Democratic China. Federation Vice President Liu Yang says on the issues of human rights and improved living standards, the world has left China behind.
Look at these 40 years in China, ruled by the Communist Party. How the world has developed, and the Chinese people, they have got just as Jiang Zemin and Li Peng described, the basic food to live and basic clothes to put on. But look at what happened to the outside, to the different world, different parts. The people in Hong Kong and people in Singapore, people in Taiwan, they are all Chinese. If we are talking about cultural difference, those people, exactly, they share the same Chinese culture. But why it is different? Does that mean something? Could that prove something the Chinese Communist regime did wrong? I think yes. And the second of all, the rights of the thinking, rights of the express themselves, and that can be that we can have an example that is exactly that is not 2 years ago the 1989 Chinese students. They demanded the freedom and demanded the democracy in Tiananmen Square. That freedom and of the expression and freedom of press, freedom of the assembly has been ruled out by the Chinese regime's tanks and the machine guns. That means the Chinese government, they have shown nothing about human rights.
Liu described some of the efforts the Federation is making to improve human rights in China.
We, as the Federation for Democratic China, we are doing actually four things. First thing is we urge the international community to pay the basic human rights situation in China, and through the diplomatic contacts, we have our foreign relation contacts with the foreign governments. And also we had good contact with Amnesty International and Asia Watch, all these kind of non-government organizations. We also shared information. We provided the concrete cases to them. They provided information to us. That are the exchange on the information level. And also we used any of opportunities when we speak about China. We say human rights issue is a very important issue. That's one of the major work we are doing now. But besides on the human rights issue, we certainly paid attention to the other aspects of the problem. For example, to end up this one-party system, we think only if the China can change now the system from the dictatorship to the democratic system, then that means the people's basic human rights can be guaranteed.
Liu Yang of the Federation for Democratic China. Yu Maoquan is the founder of China Forum, a discussion group at the University of California, Berkeley. Every week, the organization hosts a meeting with some of the world's most prominent sinologists, including Betty Bao Lord, Dr. Frederick Wakeman, Harry Wu, and Wu Kaixi. Yu says the purpose of the group is not political. Instead, according to Yu, it's designed to provide a forum for Chinese and Western students to learn more about the political, social, and economic environment in China. China Forum has even caught the attention of the Chinese government. In fact, at one meeting I attended, the director of the Chinese consulate in San Francisco was there, in disguise. And there have also been allegations of the consulate sending in spies to monitor who attends the meetings and what they say. I asked Yu and some of the other Chinese students if this worried them. They all said no. Yu Maoquan.
I truly believe state exists for the individuals. not the other way around. In China, basically, theoretically, every individual belongs to the state. That's what the social history structure was all about. So the environmental situation is really, really bad because not only there are so many violations, but the worst of all, and the government has theory to conduct these violations of human rights.
Now, would you say that the human rights climate today is different from that of any time in the past?
You mean nowadays?
Today, yes, in 1991.
1991?
Compared to, say, 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
Well, it's, let me say, it's a different, I think the environment is very different, and also the weather conduct is very different. At this time, 5, 10 years ago, the human rights violation was not confronted by the world opinions. Now, the Tiananmen massacre by the Chinese government truly awakened many, many people abroad. So this time, all the violations done by the Chinese government that were closely watched by everybody else outside of China. So in this case, I think it's different. Now, the Chinese government also, I guess they have to be very careful this time, but unfortunately, they are still doing the things that they have been doing in the past. Basically, they arrest people without due process of law. For example, most of the pro-democracy leaders were put into jail and without trial for more than a year. I mean, that's against even the communist law that were proclaimed by themselves.
Now, getting to the Tiananmen incident and the subsequent crackdown, how does that fit overall into Chinese history?
The Tiananmen incident?
Yes, in terms of, you know, if we look back in Chinese history at the Cultural Revolution, the Great Leap Forward, and even the crackdown in 1979, how does the Tiananmen incident fit into that? Was it an aberration? Was it fitting into a pattern?
Yes, on the part of the communist regime, it is absolutely not an aberration. Let me put it this way. Because I truly believe the Tiananmen massacre is a continuation of the communist logic. It's a continuation of 1968 Prague Spring and the 1956 Hungarian crackdown. Because what the Tiananmen says to people is, if anybody wants to rebel against the communist regime, now, ultimately, you will get is tanks, machine guns. So that's, in that way, the Tiananmen massacre is not an aberration in the Chinese communist history. Now, but I think just if you look at the nature of the Tiananmen movement, however, I think it is a Tiananmen movement begins a new era in the Chinese people's struggle for democracy, because this is the first time in modern Chinese history when the ordinary Chinese people rose up to rebel against the oppressive regime, not primarily motivated by a nationalistic sentiment. In other words, this is not a movement for national salvation, as so happened in the past. For example, the May 4th movement. For example, the communist movement in the 1930s and 40s, they took advantage of the Japanese invasion. This time was the first time in modern Chinese history that ordinary people in China to stage such a massive movement demanding the decent human rights without a nationalistic sentiment or national crisis. Now, in this sense, it's a true movement for real democracy and human rights. Now, Mr. Democracy was also one of the chief goals in May 4th movement of 1919, for example. But that goal was overwhelmingly overshadowed by the strong sense of national crisis in 1919. Now, this time is fundamentally different. So in that sense, I think the Tiananmen movement began a new era in modern Chinese history. It's the most fundamental event I see as a history student.
Now, you've been implying that human rights violations started in 1949 with the coming of the communist government. But from my understanding of Chinese history, I mean, the government of China and the emperor and so forth have never really been all that, you know, respectful of people's human rights. Is that true?
That's true. But also, there's a fundamental difference between the violation of human rights by the traditional sort of imperial state and the communist state. Now, human rights is a modern idea. Human rights does not monopolize, it should not be monopolized by anybody. Now, historically speaking, while those Chinese emperors, Chinese imperial states were violating human rights in China, almost everybody else is doing the same thing outside of China. So you can look at the history. But in the West, the idea of human rights developed gradually. Now in China, when the feudalist system ended there, all over the world, China continued that kind of thing. So that's the one different thing. Now, and also with in the imperial, in the old China, although the state, in theory, owned, so to speak, all the subjects. In other words, you have the emperor and then everybody else is a subject of the emperor. But not in theory, but practically, people had enormous individual and private space of themselves. They have daily lives of the ordinary people were controlled or operated under, for example, family systems, kinship systems, and religious worship systems. So you have some very non-state relationships on the local level. So in that way, people were not completely controlled. However, the communist system, they are violating the human rights under a totalitarian system. The communist controls almost every aspect of individuals and individuals' life in China. Not through a family system, not through kinship system, but through a whole oppressive state apparatus. The most important of all is what they call the so-called Banwei system, the work unit. Now, the work unit was and has been, still is, the fundamental apparatus of the state to control people's well-being. For example, a Banwei can control your life and death, control your right to move, control your life to give a birth to a baby. Even if you want to go abroad, you have to get some kind of permit from the Danwei. So that's a very, very different thing. And in other words, the communist regime is a systematized system. It's inhuman. But also, there's no other way you can turn to. It's different from the traditional violation of human rights.
So
if you get out of Danwei, and then nobody else you can turn into. So the only way you can do is to go abroad, to get out of the country. That's why you see in China right now, so many people want to go abroad because it's so desperate.
So do you consider the entire Danhui system to be an essential violation of human rights?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's an essential organ to control people. The key word in the communist China is control. The Chinese Communist Party spent most of its time controlling people. That's what is wrong, fundamentally wrong with the Chinese communist system, because it is so good at preventing, but not good at doing and creating.
Director and founder of China Forum, Yu Maoquan. Wu Kaixi is undoubtedly one of the most famous leaders of the pro-democracy movement. throughout Hong Kong, Taiwan, and the United States, there are T-shirts and posters of him speaking on Tiananmen Square in front of the Goddess of Democracy. Wu Kai-shi was one of the fortunate few to have escaped China, allegedly through the triad network of Operation Yellow Bird. Wu Kai-shi now lives in the United States and is devoting himself to promoting democracy and human rights in China. I spoke with him by phone from his home in California.
The current situation of human rights in China is too dark. Therefore, it's too dark to even discover it. We can't see it. And also, people on the Western, the free country, they can't really understand the problem in China, and they can't really understand the side that people in China was holding is really completely different with outside. Side means standard. When we discover the human rights situation from the free country, from like America or Hong Kong or other place, we're always using a free country's standard to watch on that. But that doesn't work. And for a totalitarian system, usually the people, the government can always send the wrong image about their human rights affair. It's getting better. It's always getting better from the worst, because the world is going on. But it doesn't mean the situation getting better from the worst is good. It's still terrible. I think we shouldn't use this word, getting better, toward those totalitarian countries' human rights affair.
Do you think the West really cares about human rights in China?
I think so, yes. People do.
You don't sound
people
too confident.
Do care. Not government. Not those world leaders.
What about business?
Well, they do care business. They do care the market. They do care the money. They do care the oil from those country. Well, unfortunately, China don't have a rich oil like Kuwait.
I spoke with one professor who said that Tiananmen Square, the crackdown, was good for business because it restored stability to China. And human rights crackdowns are always good for business. What do you think of that?
I think that's a very honest answer about this. Did I hear that he is a businessman?
No, he's a professor. He's a professor.
Oh, yes. Okay. I think, yes, always. And like a Japanese businessman, they were really happy. I'm not mentioning any certain people, but I know that quite some of the Japanese businessmen were really happy about the massacre because they offered them a really better and bigger market for Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just like that. I think that's a good example.
Now, the issue of prisoners in China is one that's on a lot of people's mind right now. Could you just maybe describe what you think the conditions they're being detained in are like?
I tell you one thing that I have a friend who was arrested after Tiananmen Square, and he is not famous. That's very important, I want to say. He's not famous. His living condition, his condition on the prison and on jail was terrible. The PLA people, the army officers or soldiers hit him every day, hour and hour, and usually the 3 to 5 people hit him at the same time, and even he said, "Uncle PLA, forgive me," or even he used a very terrible words like, "I am your grandson, please don't hit me anymore," something like that. The PLA people just laugh at him and still doing their terrible things. And that was one example, and he was under this kind of condition for at least 2 months.
Have you talked to him recently? Or communicated
Not
with him recently?
Me. I can't do it, but I communicate with, kind of a different way. I'm sorry, for the reason we both understand, I think
sure.
I can't say his name. And
oh, by all means. Now, Now, let's just, keeping in mind the situation of Wang Jiantao and Chen Zeming, what do you think is going through their minds right now?
I think they understand that Western media and Western people might have an incorrect image of China, of Chinese human rights affair. And I believe what they are doing right now is trying to send a correct image of Chinese human rights affair. That's what they want to do.
I'm going to read something to you, which I'm not sure you will like, but I want to hear your reactions to it. I'm going to quote Premier Li Peng, and he says, China attaches great importance to and respects human rights, and the guaranteeing the Chinese people's basic rights is a major part of China's constitution. What do you think of that?
The worst thing I was really, very upset on this kind of problem is some world leaders really like this. They always think this is kind of a good excuse to open their Chinese policy or open better door to support this government or do something good for their business. Well, that's the worst thing. World leaders always like this kind of I'm trying not to use that word. That's stupid and very incorrect. I'm trying to use those words, but I think you understand.
Oh yes.
Well, that.
But
Li Peng, what he's trying to say right now is that's what they want to do is send an incorrect image. They do care image. They do care the support from our other country, but they don't care the human rights.
What do you think of the MFN issue as it relates to the human rights climate in China?
Well, how to say, I don't really understand the Americans' policy of that. Of course, I hope my country, my people getting richer and everything getting better. But if this kind of thing always happened, if like Americans' reoffer always, this kind of thing always happened, that means encourage the government to go ahead to do their maybe massacre again.
Mm-hmm.
So in this reason, I think President Bush should at least do it conditionally.
If one looks through Chinese history, it appears to me that China has never really been a fertile ground for human rights. First, do you agree with that? And secondly, explain how you think it's possible for the Chinese leadership to respect an individual's fundamental rights.
Mm-hmm. I disagree with the first thing you said. You mentioned on the first question.
Mm-hmm.
The human rights is not a simple political rights or something like that. It's a very basic. It's everywhere.
Sure, but even
of course human rights, the whole human rights, the human rights is never shown in Chinese history in 5,000 years, but there is no complete human rights in this world. Every country, even America, France, free countries, they are still fighting, they are still working for the people's human rights. There's only a problem on who is better, who is worse, and that's right. Chinese people may not have the idea, the general idea of human rights because of the propaganda. But I don't think the human rights never come to China, and I do think people believe what's the real meaning of human rights by their own way. And that doesn't mean they don't know. That doesn't mean people didn't see that. And it doesn't mean it won't come to China. Well, it doesn't mean China is a country is not worth to, not ready to human rights.
So you think it will one day come?
So the only thing I want to mention for the short time where we had a discussion today, a very good discussion today, is that the human rights affair in China, the situation of human rights in China is too dark to discover it. But I want to mention to the whole world that please getting closer to discover it. You will see all things.
This has been a Metro News special report, Human Rights in China, A Closer Look. Metro News would like to thank the following people for their contributions: Yu Mao Chun, Wu Er Kaixi, and Li Chuk Yen. This program is a production of the Metro Broadcast Corporation and is under an exclusive copyright of Echo Communications. All rights are reserved.